Welcome to World Bridges Livewire Homegrown Live Radio. Today we're talking to the people at the CDC picket line here in Charlottetown who've been logged out since early August. I'd like to start with a quick question for you, Cynthia. On the line we've got Cynthia Dunsford right now.
Hi.
And hi, Cynthia. How you doing?
Hi. I'm great.
Listen, the first question I got to ask you is, how's Paul doing?
Oh, yes, the chef. The very important part of the picket line. Paul was making beef burgundy yesterday. It sounds way better in French. But he was making that yesterday, and just before he was about to serve it, he spilled the entire pot onto his foot. And he has second-degree burns. So there are hazards to the picket line situation. So.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I've got another question. Listen, I was reading Bill Richardson's blog this morning, and he tells me that the ASS is really good on the line out there. Is that true?
The ASS?
Yeah, he was saying that particularly out there in Vancouver, that the male ASS in particular was very attractive.
Yeah, well,
true?
You know, as far as the view from here is, if I look down the line right now, it's variable. I see some mediocre, and I also see some pretty tight ass. So yeah, ass is good on the line.
Good. Just for our listeners who aren't actually from the country, Cynthia, why don't you give us a quick introduction on what is the CDC?
The CDC is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and it is an organization that reports the news and the sports and the weather, amongst other things like producing great TV programming and radio programming as well. And I'm not the one to really give you a full explanation. I'm not an employee of CDC. I'm a contractor that has a little gig that I do every week. But if you'd like a better explanation of what the corporation does and even more detail about some of the programming, I definitely have somebody here that could answer that.
Well, perfect. Why don't you slide somebody in and then we'll keep going. Thanks a lot, Cynthia.
Sure. Thank you, guys. Here comes Donna Allen. Hello.
Hi, Donna Allen.
Hi.
What do you do at the CBC, Donna?
I'm a producer in radio.
Ah. So how's the picket line treating you this morning?
Picket line has been great in terms of being on the line with a bunch of people I've worked with for many, many years. It's good that we don't have anybody crossing our picket line because that just makes randomosity that you don't want to take into the future. So
what exactly is going on, just for our listeners who aren't actually in the country? You guys are on the picket line. Can you give us a brief description of what happened?
How did we get to this? What's the labor dispute about? Is it your question?
Yeah, exactly. Just in sort of general terms. What are you guys going on down there?
Well, first of all, we're locked out. Management locked us out. Our union, which is the Canadian Media Guild, is in negotiations with the CBC for 15 months. I believe it was 15 months. There were a whole bunch of outstanding issues that we never even got to. Neither side got to talking about them. The biggest stumbling block has to do with the corporation's desire to be able to put more employees in the future on contract than it currently has now. There's a whole bunch of debate about what that would mean for future employees about, job security, I suppose, is the issue. And, you know, if you're on contract, essentially your job security is much, much less than it would be if you're on staff. And contracts essentially end, and when they end, the CBC would like to be able to end them and not renew without necessarily any explanation. And so our union is concerned that that's not the way we want the future to go. We're happy to have a certain amount of contracting. I'm on contract. I've been on contract for 20 years. But it's worked for me. But I work in a small station with I've had very good managers who've been very, very reasonable with me. But it's worrisome. Every time your contract comes up, there's no way to know for sure whether it'll be renewed. And if it's not renewed, in my case anyway, there's no future remuneration. That kind of thing.
Donna, I've got a clip here from the CBC Executive Vice President of Television talking about this contract employees issue. How do you feel if I play you a 30-second clip and get you to respond to it? So right now we're going to play a clip from cbcnegotiates.ca with Richard Sturzberg, executive president of CBC Television, about his concerns about flexibility and permanent jobs.
Important to note that the majority of jobs at CBC will be permanent jobs. The fact is that the CBC already hires a myriad of non-permanent jobs throughout the organization. Contract employees at CBC are not treated as outsiders. They've been fully integrated members of our CBC family, and they'll continue to be treated generously. What we're proposing is simply to have greater options in the future to determine the mix of permanent and non-permanent staff, depending on the nature of the project in question.
I don't know if that came through clearly.
I got most of it. I've heard it all before.
They don't seem to be saying very much.
Well, no, and they've been criticized for not saying much, not being specific in their language. I can't disagree with anything he said, certainly. I don't think contract employees are treated badly. I think what's at issue is people's right to continue employment as long as they are contributing positively to the corporation. And, you know, if whatever it is that you're doing as an employee at the CDC, if someone wants to change that, you should have the option to go into another area of work, journalistically, performance, whatever it is. And I guess our concern is that there's a huge amount of contracting, a great deal more than there is now, that people will their jobs and careers will end sooner than they might have otherwise, with little effort to have them adapt to something else within the corporation. Right now, last I heard, the CBC was only looking at offering permanent status for sure in the future to reporters. Reporters are crucial. My question is, what's the difference between long-term experience workers and long-term experience producers, long-term experience camera people, long-term experience IT people? You know, I don't know why experience for reporters is so much more crucial than it is for the rest of us, our job descriptions.
Wouldn't this bring up a continuity issue as well if you've got a bunch of people who aren't connected putting together all this programming?
Well, I would say yes, but, you know, I think to argue the other side, which I'm actually very good at doing, I understand the CBC's need for creative change. You know, we probably could, it could be argued that the CBC has not changed creatively as much as it should have over the years. And, you know, I think it's important to have people turn over so that we have new ideas, we have new programs, programs that don't live forever because they shouldn't. We don't even deserve to live forever. But are there ways of doing that so that when you're done with one show and one producer and one host, that show and that producer, or that producer and that host, move on to something else valuable in the CBC? Does it have to just come to an end and we'll find somebody else who's a hot ticket?
Right. Thanks very much for this, Donna. I know that you guys are... Cynthia tells me there's a bunch of people in line there. Who else is out there sitting around waiting to get on here?
Barry Vesey's here. He's our senior technician director.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Barry. Hang on.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hi, Barry. How you doing?
I'm not too bad.
This is Dave Cormier here. We're broadcasting live. First of all, listen, I'm hearing a lot of cars and stuff. How close are you guys to the road anyway?
About 25 feet.
Oh, that's not so bad. You're not barely getting run over at that distance.
We have a picnic table set up. We're quite comfortable.
Perfect. Listen, we just talked about contract employee issue with Donna.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, from the stuff that I'm able to read here on the internet, the second issue is about occupational qualifications. Is that true? Are those the two main issues, or are there other ones that aren't being publicized?
Well, I think the big stumbling block is the use of casuals, the fact that the corporation wants to go to a casual workforce. I think that is the big hurdle. The rest of it, there's a whole list there, I think you'll see. Qualifications, I don't think there's I don't see a big issue with it. I think it all comes down to casuals and the actual list of job descriptions that they want to put on casual.
Ah, so they're changing the definitions of what the jobs are so that they can bring different people into them?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the issue right now is a lack of trust. What the corporation says publicly and what you'll read on their website and what is actually talked about at the negotiating table are frankly, two different things. And what they say, they won't actually write down, right? They'll promise you one thing and say, yes, this is what we want to do, and we have no intentions to lay people off or to change job descriptions. Or their track record, however, doesn't really back that up. And, you know, I'm afraid it comes down to just a plain and simple lack of trust. We just can't trust them anymore. They say one thing and they do something else.
And this has been true for your 15 months of negotiation? Is that what's going on here?
The truth is, I've been here for 29 years, and it's been true through my 29 years of working here.
So it's always been like that?
Well, in the earlier days, life was much simpler. We had 27 unions. We all had jurisdiction, and life was very simple. You know, over the last 29 years, we have gone from 27 different unions with very strict jurisdiction to a place now where we all can virtually do whatever we're capable of doing, total flexibility. You know, and they say we're the inflexible ones. We're the ones that don't trust them and won't give them what they want.
Can you explain that a little clearer, just about the difference in the way the unions have changed from the 27? That means that people can be moved across the country and still be in the same contract? Is that what you mean?
Not necessarily. Well, yes, across the country. We do have national contracts, so we all work out of one large local, if you will. But what I'm saying is, for years we had a producers union, and that union looked after the producers. Then we had the Media Guild, which looked after just the journalists. We had NABET years ago, which amalgamated with CEP, just to confuse things. But that was a technical union, and that looked after just the technical people. And if you were a technician, you couldn't produce an item. You couldn't report. All you were allowed to do by your job description, and because the other people needed protection in their job description, that was all you were allowed to do. You did one function, right? Now, you could do a lot of different functions in the technical unit, but it was very, very cut and dried as to who did what and how. And this has sort of evolved over the last 10 years, under a order by the CIRB, the Canadian Industrial Relations Board, that the corporation wanted, and frankly, the guild also wanted, everybody to be in one bargaining unit. And as that has evolved, and because, frankly, of technology, you know, we live in a push-button world now, where before we used to carry large tape machines and have a lot more cumbersome technology. Everybody works at a PC now, which is networked, and they can edit their own audio and look what you're doing here today.
Exactly.
It's a whole different world, and we've accepted that. We've embraced that, you know, and we all do virtually everything. We have reporters who were technical neophytes, and they function very, very well. I got a few looks there.
Barry, I was reading Todd Maffin's website this morning, and he's saying that there's a letter that came from the director of the board of directors that says that the bargaining unit for the corporate people are waiting in a hotel somewhere in the country, or ostensibly in the country, doesn't actually make sure on that, but
they're
waiting for
the
union to come back. Is that true?
Well, I understand that. That's certainly what they're telling. That's what's in every paper you pick up. However, our chief negotiator is talking on a daily basis with their chief negotiator. And if, in fact, they, you know, what it's come down to right now is they've given us an ultimatum, as I understand it. And I, personally, I'm president of this local, but I'm obviously not in Toronto at negotiations. However, our negotiating team has told us very clearly, and the corporation hasn't denied this, and they've actually said this is the hill they're prepared to die on. They want us to accept the concept or their vision of how they want to use contract employees and contracts. And until we're prepared to accept that, they don't want to talk to us.
So this isn't a negotiation at all, then?
It's an ultimatum. Now, since then, in the last week, they've come out and said, no, we're willing to talk. We want to talk. We have our committee sitting waiting for you guys to come back to the table. Well, I have a hard time believing that they've actually lifted the ultimatum, or Dan Oldfield would have had the committee back in Toronto and they would be talking. So,
well,
I don't
really
know what...
Well, to say they want you to come back to the table, eh?
Oh, of course it is. They're masters at it.
And they actually control the national news media.
You noticed that, did you? Yeah.
It's a slight advantage.
Yeah.
Hi, Barry. This is Jeff Lebo, a neighbor down south in New Hampshire. And I had a couple non-Canadian questions. What is the connection between the CBC and the government? And is there competition to the CBC?
The CBC is a crown corporation, okay? We get an allotment of money, similar to your public radio, I guess, down there. And we run English radio, French radio, English TV, French TV, and web services, international. It's a very large organization that does a lot of different media. Okay? Yeah. Our president is actually in the national paper today saying we have 19 platforms. I'm not sure exactly what they are. There is no real... I guess the only other comparison that I would know is the BBC probably works on a similar type of system.
What has the government's response been to all this? Have they taken any stand or gotten involved in negotiations?
The corporation actually asked for federal mediation, right, which is a department under the Department of Labor to come in and work with both sides to try to get to some common ground. But these people are just bureaucrats who come in and try to find common ground and sort of facilitate negotiations. They don't have any influence or any clout, or they can't say to one side, you're being stupid here, come on, get on with it. So they really haven't seemed to have made a big, big difference at this point anyway.
And you guys mentioned that the CBC tends to control national media. Has there been any significant stand taken by the print media or non-CBC media in Canada?
Well, I think public opinion and certainly the letters to the editors are certainly in our favor and understand why we're concerned about this move to a contract world. And it should be seen as the thin edge of the wedge for a lot of different government agencies. Everybody seems to want to get to this disposable workforce where you don't have to worry about benefits, you don't have any obligations to any of your staff, that people can come and when you're done with them, you say bye-bye. It's vital for everybody. It's certainly if you have any children or young people in your household, they're going to be going out in a whole different world if this is the future. I don't know how they're going to go to a bank and negotiate a mortgage on a 13-week contract.
Yeah, no kidding. This is Dave Cormier again. I'm going to ask you one more question. We'll let you off the hook, Barry, and I have to warn you, this is a terribly unfair question that you're not going to be able to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How long do you think you guys are going to be out there?
Well, you want to hear my cynical side?
Give us what you got, Barry.
Very simply... My cynical side from the day one has said that this is all about them saving money. They lost a lot of money in the NHL strike last year. And our payroll, I understand, is, $1.5 million a day or whatever. And 6 or 7 weeks we'll recoup what they say they lost.
So the CBC is saving money right now?
Yeah. They're not paying 5,500 people. You do the math.
I suppose there is some interesting math there. Thanks a lot for this, Barry.
Okay.
Is there anybody else?
I'm going to pass it to Nancy Russell right now.
Great.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, just a second. Hello?
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
This is Dave Cormier here. I'm actually just down the street from you.
Hi.
We've also got Jeff Lebo in New Hampshire.
Hello.
Hello?
And Jeffrey Beatty is in South Korea still. You still there, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So, how you doing down there?
Pretty good. The sun seems to have gone away behind the clouds. It's a little bit chilly, but it's not raining like it was last week when we got soaked and all of our signs disintegrated.
So, what do you do at the CBC, Nancy?
Well, I'm sort of the poster child for this whole debate about contract and permanent employees. I've been with the CBC since 1987. I started in radio. I started in Whitehorse, moved to Winnipeg, then Toronto, then I started in TV. I've been here on PEI for 11 years. Now, what happened to me was that when the sub-hour programs were cut from an hour to half an hour, I was on contract at the time, after 10 years doing this job. My contract was ended, and because I wasn't a permanent employee, I didn't have the bumping rights that a permanent employee would have had. So since then, I've gone from contract to contract. So that's since 2000, so I've been doing this for 5 years now. And, you know, the corporation talks about having people who are flexible. I work in radio. I even did a stint in new media. I've been a television reporter. I do it all. I'm about as flexible as you can possibly be within the corporation. I guess there are a few jobs I haven't tried yet. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that would like to see the kind of commitment that the permanent employees have.
Well, just to make it clear to our listeners out there, the trek that she's talking about having made from Whitehorse, I think, to Prince Edward Island, has got to be about 6,000 kilometers.
It's pretty well from one end of the country up north to the other end. And in the days when I started in the CBC, that's what you did. You spent a couple of years in the community and you moved from place to place because that was what the CBC wanted you to do. And, you know, that's just another example of how flexible a lot of us are and also how experienced. But I sit here and when we go back in, if this isn't resolved, if they get what they want, they can let me go at any point in time.
Right, even though that you've put in almost a 20-year commitment to the corporation.
Right. And what's especially ironic in my case is that I'm married to another CBC employee who's a permanent, he's a camera person and editor on the Supper Hour show. So I sort of live in this world of the both sides.
So are you guys on the picket lines together?
Not together because we have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, so we're splitting up the child care duties. So I picket in the morning. Go home, hand over the sign, and then he comes and does the afternoon shift.
I do spring morning duty.
Just not so lucky, I guess. So next week they go back to school, so I will probably take them to school and then do a 10 to 2.
Wow, that sounds a little bit of juggling going on there, but I suppose by the sounds of your work history, it's not your first work juggle.
No, you get pretty used to it. But yeah, you know, one of the things, too, that's been happening that's been really discouraging is that just some of the CDC bashing that's been going on, and somebody like me who's been with the corporation since 1987 and, you know, put so much into it and even put up with being on this contract-to-contract for 4.5 years, some of the things that people have been saying about CDC have been very hurtful.
So do you think that there's a happy way out of this? Do you think there are going to be long-term negative effects on the image the CDC has, or...? Do you think that there's a happy way that we can all get together and hold hands and sing a nice song together?
Oh, I wish it could be so easy. No, I think that there's going to have to be some rebuilding of the public trust and the goodwill. You know, at the same time, there have been a lot of people who have been fighting for the CDC, so that has been heartening. My mother sent a particularly pointed letter to the Prime Minister about how she feels about what's been going on, not because of me personally, but just as a Canadian taxpayer. So I guess as much as there have been the CDC bashers, there have also been a lot of CDC supporters who have come out, and that, you know, that's what we're going to have to focus on when we get back to work.
Sure. Nancy, your mother's letter to the Prime Minister is a case in point here. If the rest of the people in Canada, or even the Canadians around the world, I know Jeff is probably missing his CDC out there in South Korea, what can the rest of us do to help this process along and maybe support the people out there on the picket lines?
Well, I think a great thing to do would be to email or call your MP. We do know there has been, Wayne Easter came by our picket line. He's a member of Parliament, and he's also the chair of the broadcast committee. And he takes note of how many people call him or email him on a certain issue. So that's one thing we've been directing people to do. You can also email the president of the CDC, Robert Rabinovich, and actually on our cmgpei.ca website, there are links to all these people. You can look up your MP. You can email various people at the CDC. And, you know, the public, hearing from the public counts.
Great. As far as the CDC workers, I know that you guys are out on the picket line. I know guys like Todd Maffin has got a collection of what people are doing out there. I know Sheila Rogers is crossing the country now doing a podcast. Is there anything else that's being done here in Charlottetown that people are doing as alternative reporting of the news?
I think that this is our first step towards that. This is, for many of us, our first podcast, so we're just exploring the technology. But there's actually a big debate going on within this CDC employees about should we be doing alternative reporting of the news, or should we allow people to see the gap that is left when we're not reporting the news? It's sort of a double-edged sword in a way. If we start doing our jobs but in another format, will people miss us as much? We want people to realize what we're not providing to the community. There have been some huge stories that have happened while we've been out here. For example, I spent the whole summer working on a series preparing for the Canada Summer Games about the PEI team. We hadn't won a medal at the Canada Games in 12 years, and Jared Connaughton, a sprinter, won 2 gold medals, and we weren't able to cover that story, and it's just incredibly frustrating. So I want people to... Yeah, I want people to realize that they're missing out because we're not on the air.
Hi, this is Jeff Lebo from New Hampshire. I'm just wondering, what is on the air?
What is on the air? How do you describe what is on the air? There's a group of managers who have been flown into Toronto and put up at great expense at a downtown hotel, and they're providing a kind of programming service. To be honest, they're getting better at it. They were really horrible the first week. The TV continues to be horrible. It's really hard to just walk in after years of not doing it. Radio, and they're doing a lot of repeats, which is very frustrating. Like, imagine if you were Sheila Rogers, and they're replaying your program, and people can't necessarily discern if it is Sheila Rogers crossing the picket line or a repeated program. So it's sort of a mixed bag, but if anything, that's really what stirs up a lot of bad feelings from us. When they're replaying things that were put to tape before this happened, it just doesn't seem right.
I know Bill Richardson wrote some scathing stuff about being his own scab, and I was very angry with himself for doing it.
That's typical Bill Richardson. I have Karen Mayer here, who's the host of Island Morning, and I think that she wanted to talk to you as well.
Great. Thanks a lot,
okay.
Nancy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Hey, Don. Why did he still on? Just like that?
Yeah. Hello?
Be careful. They tunnel into your brain.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't been wearing decent headphones for a few weeks now, so...
So, Karen, can you give everybody a little, just I know who you are, but can you give a description to the people out there? We've got Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeffrey is in South Korea, and we've got some listeners around the world. Can you tell everybody who you are and what you do at CBC, please?
Sure. Well, I host the morning show, Island Morning, which is a standard current affairs morning show for CBC. CBC has kind of similar programming right across the country. Made up of regional programs, and this would be considered one of those. And then we have network programs as well. So we're on the air from just before 6 o'clock in the morning until 8:30, 5 days a week. And it's primarily talk radio. We cover the politics and issues that these people in our province daily. We also... music, and we do some comedy. Cynthia is a very popular columnist, the first person you were talking to today. She has a persona called Parkdale Doris, and she's on our show. We have a political panel, which is a really popular feature. Islanders are, politics is religion here, and so people love to hear their points of view. So really, we provide a kind of a morning conversation. I talk about the weather, which is crucial to people, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I got to tell you, me personally, I'm actually in Charlottetown here. I definitely miss having you on in the morning. Is it hard getting up and not going in and doing the morning show? Do you miss it?
I miss it desperately. I don't particularly like getting up at 4:30 in the morning, but, you know, 12 years of it and chronic sleep deprivation kind of clicks in. It's, you know, people have been saying to me, I miss you, and I've been saying, I miss me too. This is my 21st year of public service with the CBC, and I consider it public service. I consider my job actually a 24/7 job. I'm often in the community. Somebody wrote a letter to the editor on Saturday, and like many of my colleagues, we attend events, we participate in the community, I'm at the wakes, I take my job very seriously. It is my life, and I'm very committed to it, and I am one of the people that, in a sense, is fighting for the future of the CBC here. I've been a permanent employee since the week I was hired, and I'm very fortunate in that respect, but I haven't sat around and not learnt over the years. I've done a variety of jobs in the CBC. I've continued to learn and grow and explore what my own abilities are. And I brought that to my work, I hope.
You're talking about being part of the community, and I mean, I know that for sure, being here. I know that you had a few singers out there last week, and other people have been showing up. Apparently, the MP was out.
Yes.
Who else has been out there showing the flag?
Well, certainly, I got this brainwave at Friday morning to call a bunch of musicians. They're not getting played on the radio while we're off the air. Many of the musicians in PEI got their career start through CBC. We take it very seriously to promote local arts and culture. And the CBC has actually recorded some of them. Vera Schwa got started when we had the great idea of having an Acadian house party several years ago. They miss us, and I'm sure they're going to miss their royalty checks, too, in a few weeks.
No kidding. I was talking to Christina Forgeron, and she was telling me that when she got the phone call, it wasn't even a conversation.
She's quite a girl.
People have been so good to the community here that it was automatic for her to go out.
But apart from that, we've had educators by, we've had ministers and priests by, we've had other government workers, we've had people who have been touched by the experience of being on a picket line. There have been a few memorable strikes recently in PEI. And listeners, I had an 84-year-old woman who had me out to tea last week because her life is a total mess because she doesn't get up with me. And she had me out. She wanted to know. She'd already talked to her MP. This woman is 84, a widow, living by herself. She reads Globe and Mail every day, but she's a mess because she doesn't have CBC. And it really touched my heart that she made that effort to reach out to me. So there's been quite a bit of that. And it's really, I'm going to try not to cry because I think that that's what we try to do. I work with an incredible group of people who devote themselves to this place. And so it's heartening when people give back that way to us.
Yeah, I think there's a huge cross-section of people across this country that are desperately missing CBC. I know for me here, every time I get into the car and I turn on the radio and I go, oh, damn it, oh. And it's a daily thing. It happens to me every day. I get into my car, I turn on the radio, go, oh, shit, and I turn it back off again. It's been a couple of weeks now, and it still hasn't stopped.
Yeah, I was at a party last night. My niece is off to university. And, it was when I went to school, my life's dream was to work for CBC Radio. And I was fortunate in that, that dream came true for me. But there were a number of young people at this gathering who already have their university education, and they're all working at a call center.
Yeah.
And their hopes and dreams for their future and to pay off their debts from university education are diminishing. And what really worries me about what's happening with the CBC and what's happening with GM and what's happening with provincial governments is this trend to not show respect to people like me and my colleagues who have shown that kind of dedication, who have constantly upgraded their skills and education, who have stayed relevant and current. And, you know, what's the future hold for my niece who's off to university and, you know, is going to end up with a huge debt in 4 years' time? And, you know, what are her prospects if organized labor goes this way? And organized labor leads the way for all workers, you know. We only have certain levels of minimum wage because there are standards from organized labor. So I really fear for young people, you know, and I mean, how do you have hopes and dreams when people are getting axed and people are being taken advantage of who are their parents?
I don't think there's any doubt. I think that the position of organized labor is exactly what you guys are doing. As long as the board of directors for corporations are answering to shareholders, and the only issue that they're really responsible to is a money issue, that it does definitely need organized labor to take stands like this in order to keep any kind of balance in that conversation between money and actual people who are out there, who are real people, where there is a difference between commitment and simply showing up at your job, and where that's responded to by the company, and I think that's hugely important.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Jeff Lebo again from New Hampshire.
Hi, Jeff, in New Hampshire.
Thank you. I have another question from a non-American.
CBC, you are an American.
Oh, right, a non-Canadian, sorry. CBC is not a profit-driven entity, is it? I mean, it needs to pay the bills, but it's not a GM looking to make money. Is that correct?
Well, it's and I'm not the person to ask because I can't balance my own checkbook, but the CBC does receive a parliamentary allocation of, I think it's 60, which is not enough for what we do. For instance, the BBC, which offers fewer services, has an allocation of $7 billion. And but we also do projects that generate revenue, for instance, hockey, and we get money through selling advertising, commercial sales. If people say we lost between $20 and $60 million last year because of a lockout in hockey, we also have sponsorships. For instance, certain arts events, opera. We have a number of arts festivals here in PEI where we have a sponsorship agreement. Now, I think much of that is actually in kind. There isn't money involved. The motive, though, and the mandate of CBC is not about profit. You're right. And this is a big problem, I think, for the public broadcaster because at the same time, we're competing with broadcasters where that is the motive. And you know, keeping philosophically the idea of serving the public, reflecting Canada to Canadians, and yet doing that with less and less money is a real challenge. You know, either the CBC has to decide that we don't spend a fortune trying to bid to participate in the Olympics, or we do. You know, I think they have to make decisions, and those are higher up, and frankly, I don't even understand all of that side of it, but I know that it is it's a quandary because we, you know, we're as competitive as the next guy in terms of wanting to get the story first, about wanting to have audience share and have lots of people listening and watching and tuning in, but we can't compete on all levels.
Because I would assume that the executives are responding to all of these concerns about job security with, well, hey, we need to, you know, eat our bottom line, and we have to cut costs one way or another. What are the alternatives? If they don't do this plan that they're hoping to do, what else can they do?
Well, and that's something that I don't know a lot about, but I think that they, you know, for instance, television, radio is cheap. You know, it's like podcasting, it's cheap.
Right.
And,
real cheap.
I mean, the human resource in radio would be the expense. And sometimes the technology, when you have to outfit all of our stations with new technology, that kind of thing for radio, then that's expensive. But what's really expensive in the CBC is television. And it gets more expensive all the time. I guess if they were having to look at other options apart from this trying to force us to be flexible and nimble and the other sort of adjectives they've been throwing around, would be to take on fewer projects.
Do you consider yourself unnimble now, Karen?
I think I'm extremely nimble. Yeah. Recently, for instance, I did a project on my own. I traveled to Kenya, and I did radio, television, and the internet, reporting on charitable work that an organization, a PEI-based organization, has been doing for 25 years, helping thousands of farmers in East Africa. And I did that all on my own, and I provided several hours of programming as a result.
And that was not funded by CBC?
No, the CBC paid for it. Yeah, no, the CBC paid for it. What I'm saying is that, you know, I initiated it. God love the CBC for letting me do it. But also, that was in my 20th year as a journalist, and I had to learn a whole bunch of new skills, which I imposed on myself to do it. And that's the kind of person I am, and that's the kind of organization that I work for that said, yeah, this is a great idea, let's do this. And yes, a story that takes place in East Africa is important to PEI listeners and viewers. So, you know, as far as being nimble and flexible, I think we all do our best that way. I mean, many of people that are senior to me went into a CBC that was very different, and you did one kind of a job. When I started as a radio reporter, basically I hauled a tape recorder around and I wrote it with a typewriter. A typewriter.
What was that?
You can find them on eBay. And you can sell them for lots, actually, on eBay. But, you know, now I can record my own stuff. I edit my own material in a computer. I can do that. I can broadcast mobily. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And I say bring it on. I love it. I'm more than willing to do that.
Karen, Nancy was saying earlier that there's a certain amount of debate about whether or not... Sorry, there's a big truck running you over.
Yeah,
here.
Big truck.
Get out of the way.
It's not as close as it sounds.
There's a big debate going on about whether or not this internet production of news should actually happen. And Nancy was saying earlier that some people feel one way, some people feel another. We'd like to do this on at least a semi-regular basis with you guys out there. How would you feel about doing that?
I like this, having this conversation with you guys. The debate is about whether CBC people should do journalism while they're locked out. And, for instance, our colleagues in Toronto with Metro Morning are doing that. They're doing their morning show using university radio signal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's written up in the Post or the Globe today. And I don't know how I feel about that, because it's bad enough that CBC management is driving our listeners and viewers away. But then to participate in that and say, well, you can find us at this station.
Right.
And you can find the journalism that you're missing somewhere else, I have a bit of a problem with. I mean, I miss my work, and I'm collecting story ideas, and, man, I hope you tune in when we're back on the air. But that's the thing. That's, I think, the kernel of what people are having an issue with. It's not this discussing this particular issue or how it's affecting my life or my colleagues' lives or those of us who love CBC, but it's actually they're going to do traffic, they're doing weather, they're doing news, and so that's where the conflict lies, I think, for CBC folks.
Do you think it's just their desire to want to go out and actually do media, or is it a question
I think
of
they,
being
they I think they're like the rest of us. They really miss what they do. You know, and that's what I live and breathe to do. That's why, you know, I get up at the god-awful hour and come in here or sleep overnight when there's a blizzard. I mean, I'm...
You go in and sleep overnight when there's a blizzard?
I did that this winter.
Oh, yep. In February.
in February, I stayed over along with Gary, Bessie, and Andrew Sprague. It was hot. We cooked breakfast in the studio. It was great. It was just in case Islanders didn't know that there was a blizzard.
I'm sure that was the only reason that got that started. And I think I'll leave that question right there and just move along.
Yeah, would you like to speak with someone else, or Cynthia's
here? Well,
who
else is out there?
Cynthia's going to do the traffic cop thing. So it's been a pleasure talking with you, Jeff, in New Hampshire. And who
likewise,
else was I talking
great.
To?
You're talking to Dave across the street.
Dave across the street. Dave, thanks.
Yeah, and Jeffrey in South Korea.
Wow. Hi.
Actually, I have a hockey question if somebody would like to.
Okay, don't ask me the hockey question. Just I'll get someone else, okay?
Okay.
I love hockey because it pays for radio, but I'm really not all of it. Just a second.
Hey, do you guys
want to
talk hockey?
I don't want to talk hockey. I want to talk hockey and CBC.
Sure. We're gonna get Bruce Rainey over here. Come on over, Bruce.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he can't right now. He's in the middle of walking.
It's an important job.
Conversation.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia.
Sorry, it's really hard to, like, communicate to you our signs and silent signals we're giving right now, but he's unavailable.
Cynthia, we can do this again sometime later. I think.
You guys, this has been fantastic. What a great thing. Just listening has been great for those of us who are sitting around the table because, the picnic table, literally, because... we don't always go into that much depth about how we're feeling about everything, and to hear everyone's real opinion and just their situation, it's a very emotional thing. And as you heard and felt, I'm sure, through people's voices and expression, there's a mixed bag, right? I mean, there's frustration, there's a tiny bit of kind of not understanding the situation so much and maybe being angry about not understanding, to being very worried about their future. And what really gets to me is how loyal people here are about the CBC and how dedicated they are to their dogs and how hard they've worked over the last few years. And it's been a really wonderful thing that you guys have, come on to create this discussion. So, everyone here thanks you so much for that.
Well, thanks, Cynthia. It's actually been a pleasure to be able to do it. And I think that's the thing that strikes me the most in this conversation as well, is just how committed people still are. I mean, I've talked to people in the midst of strikes before, and usually "you're hurting my company" is not one of the conversations that you end up having.
Exactly, yeah.
And it is that sort of separation between this being kind of a public service, like Karen was saying. It is something that people spend their whole lives dreaming of doing.
It's who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a true vocation in the sense that it is a huge part of who they are. And when you don't have the opportunity to be that for whether a short period of time or a longer period of time, it deeply affects people in their lives and their families and their communities. And as we witness here on the line, the community is deeply affected. You wouldn't believe how many people drop by with their best wishes, but also actual physical donations of either money or things like cookies. I mean, it's all important because it's an expression of how much people appreciate the work that CBC does and how they do tie all communities around across Canada together.
Well, if there's anything else you guys need, you know that I'm just across the street, so
I can almost see it from here.
Hey, put that down.
Oh, sorry.
So, all right. We'll call it off here, Cynthia. I'm actually hoping sometime this week, I got an email from Todd Maffin, and hopefully sometime this week we could actually have some communication across country and sort of bringing you guys together. And
I think that would be great.
Sort of a lot of the same thing. I mean, I'm not looking for any real animosity or whatever else, and I understand people's concerns about not doing the news, but I think it would be really neat to hear people from across the country talking to each other.
Yeah, I think what we might find is that everyone has a lot in common when it comes to their stories, right? Even though everyone's got their own specific situation, that it'll once again tie everyone together.
Right.
As the CBC does.
Exactly. And that's
so, yeah, thanks again, folks.
Okay, and we'll be in contact, and we'll see if we can't do this again soon.
Very cool.
Okay, thanks, Cynthia.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Great. Bye.